Well, here I am, your dynamic speaker, as promised. Mr. Greg told me that with all this talk of dynamic speakers going around, I should probably preach on humility, but I didn't want to be a hypocrite, so. Some of you might recognize this lesson. I made it for preacher training camp, I think last year, as I preached it here, and I decided to turn it into a full-length sermon for today, because I'm lazy and didn't make a different sermon. What a friend we have in Jesus. How many times have you felt sin knocking at your door? Have you felt it trying to drag you away from the safe space that you're in God? God's house is safe. As long as you stay in it, then you're safe. The devil can't get you while you're in there. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 37 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The only thing that can separate you from God is yourself, if you choose to walk away. God doesn't push you out of his house. The devil doesn't drag us out of his house. Only you can walk out of his house. So how is the devil trying to drag you out of God's house? Through temptations, through pain, through shame. I was thinking, the prodigal son, did the far country come to the father's house and physically drag the son out of his house? No, it enticed him with temptations. Do you feel alone at those times when sin is at your door? The prodigal son isolated himself. He left all his family. He told his father, "You're dead to me," by getting his inheritance early. He was isolated. The problem is isolating yourself just makes it worse. That's what the devil wants you to feel. You sin and you think, "Oh, I'm an awful person." So you isolate yourself. But then isolating yourself just makes it worse, and you sin again. And you say, "I deserve this isolation," but that's the reason that you're sinning. It's a loop. When you isolate yourself, you are taking yourself out of your father's house. In 2022, 49,000 people committed suicide in the U.S. That's one person every 11 minutes. Killing themselves because they're depressed. And why are they depressed? It's because they're alone. I looked up suicide rates to get some statistics, and the first thing that showed up was this box right here. And it says, "You're not alone," because America is in a pandemic of feeling alone. One of the problems is a lot of times when someone's depressed, you can't tell. And then suddenly, you're standing at their funeral, and you say, "Why did they kill themselves?" Because you didn't know it, but the devil had them feeling isolated. Could I have done something differently? If I had been there for them, if I had talked to them more, could I have saved them? Would they still be alive if I had done something different? You don't know, because there are no second chances. In the U.S., 13.2 million people have seriously thought about suicide. 3.8 million have made a plan for it. 1.6 million have attempted it. Many of those people who killed themselves would still be alive if they had had true friends like we have in God and in the church. But even then, we struggle with feeling alone. Maybe you're not baptized. We're immersed, as my dad would say. Do you feel so much shame that you feel like you can't come to God? We know God came. Jesus came to save the unrighteous. He came for the unrighteous, not for the righteous. That's the logic. But somehow our feelings still get the better of us. And we think, we can't come to God. How would God forgive me, a sinner? And that's what the devil wants you to feel, because if he keeps you alone, then he wins. You cannot isolate yourself. Which is why today I wanted to talk about three things. The first of which is, no matter your past, God wants you. If you're not baptized, you might think, how could I ever come to God with what I've done? And yet, in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, it says, I say then, have they, talking about the Jews, stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Salvation has come to those who are once sinners, to those who have been living in an ungodly lifestyle, and salvation has come to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Paul writes, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. Also, in verse 23, Paul says, and they, the Jews again, also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. God doesn't care what you've done. He cares about your future and about what you will do and are doing. Perhaps the greatest example of someone who has done worse things than you have ever done, and who's felt the same pain, the shame of his sins as you, is Paul. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. 7:58. When they had driven him out of the city, Stephen, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul did terrible things. Saul jailed Christians, he killed Christians, he consented to their deaths. And yet, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 10, he writes, "For I am the least of the apostles, and am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I killed you, these Christians, I killed your followers, I imprisoned them, I'm an awful person. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. I'm a terrible person, but I'm saved by the grace of God." Growth is necessary for survival. Once you're in God, you have to continually strive to do better. You can't stagnate. Verses 20 through 22 of Romans chapter 11 says, "Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." Mr. Ray has said something along the lines of, if you're not moving towards God and continuously growing towards God, you're moving away from God. You can't just sit in the middle and stagnate. I would like to see someone who wants to work out and get really strong. And he works out and he gets really strong. And then he says, "Oh, okay, I'm good now. I'm just going to stop working out." That would be funny, because you have to continuously work out to stay strong. And that's the same with our spiritual lives. We must continually work out our spiritual lives in order to stay strong. A few weeks before I wrote this sermon, then we had a tornado go right over our house. It did not blow over our house, but it went over our house. And it broke off a lot of branches. It did a lot more stuff, but what I want to focus on is the branches. Imagine yourself as the branch, God as the tree, and the devil as the tornado. The devil is going to come along and he's going to try and try and try to break you off of God, of the tree. And if you're weak, if you have not been continuously working out your spiritual life, you will break off and you won't be able to weather his attacks. How can you keep strong, though? How can we keep from being isolated and from getting broken off and getting weak? Well, here's the amazing thing. It's almost like God knew that we would struggle with this and actually gave us resources to help with this. It's crazy. The first resource he gave was the Bible. In it, we see that you are not alone. God is with us. We see that others have struggled with the same problems that we do and have prevailed. How must David have felt with that after his sin with Bathsheba? I would assume the same pain and shame that we feel. And yet he was considered a man after God's own heart because he repented. Psalm 32, verses 3 through 4. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And then Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4 and 10 through 17. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. What an amazing scripture, just laying his feelings out before us and being able to know that there are others who have struggled with the same things that we have and who have come to God. Think how alone the Israelites felt when they were facing superior forces. When the 12 spies went into the land and 10 came back and said, we can't do this. We can't fight them. It's because they did not think they could fight because they forgot one important factor, that God was with them. Think how alone Gideon felt with his 300. And yet, throughout everything, God says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God wants you to repent. God wants you to come to him. It's just up to you to get over your shame and the pain that you're feeling and do it and repent and come to God. Our next resource is our church family. God has given us this amazing family to help with our struggles, to help with these things. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We are supposed to share our burdens with one another and carry the other's burdens, because sometimes the burdens are just too heavy to bear ourselves. Sometimes we can't do it alone. And that's why we need the church. Maybe you don't struggle with feeling alone or being depressed. And you're just thinking, this lesson doesn't matter to me. But maybe Bob or Bobette beside you, they struggle with feeling depressed. Your coworkers, people at the store, they could struggle with feeling depressed. And you could be the one that's there to help. The church is here to help. A wise man, Mr. Ray, once said last week, telling someone who's depressed to suck it up does not work. I've been doing it wrong this entire time. What am I doing? I'm glad you noticed that was a joke. I didn't think you were going to understand that. But God knew that it wouldn't be good for us to be alone. That's why he gave Adam Eve. That's why in Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. So we have the scriptures, we have the church, and then finally, perhaps the greatest of them all, we have God. God understands us. He knows what we go through. He knows our struggles. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I mentioned how much I liked last week the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and it was just led before the sermon. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. God is our ultimate friend. Proverbs 18:24, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. John 15:12-15, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. God is more powerful than any of us. And what's amazing is that we have a direct connection to God through prayer. Prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do. Going back to the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Solace meaning comfort or consolation in a time of distress or sorrow. What an amazing song, and what an amazing God that we have. So today we've looked at struggling with feeling alone, and we've looked at resources that we have to help ourselves and to help others. We have the Bible to read, to grow closer to God. We have the church to share our burdens with, to help each other. And then we have God, our greatest friend. So do you ever feel alone? Because if you do, it is so important for you to talk to God, to find solace in the Bible, to talk to your church family. Remember that the only way that the devil can get you is if he separates you from God. Because nothing can separate you from God but yourself. Is there something preventing you from being baptized? Perhaps there's shame keeping you. Perhaps something else. Now, this wouldn't be much of a gospel sermon if I didn't share the gospel with you. So, we're going to go over the gospel real fast. Jesus came down from heaven and lived a life among us. A perfect life without sin. He then was crucified on the cross, separated from God for our sins, to cleanse our sins from us. He was buried, and then he rose on the third day and ascended back into heaven. That is the good news. Do you believe in that? Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Have you repented of your sins? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized. Do you still need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, but what does it say? The word is near in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith with which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And then, have you been baptized or immersed, or do you need to? Finishing verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've already done all of these things and you've fallen away from God. And it's important to know that you can come back because God wants you back. If you need help with any of these things, there will be people you can talk to afterwards, standing up here, or after the service, then you can go find someone and talk to them, because it is so important to talk when we're feeling alone. If you need help with any of these things, then I invite you now. Please come forward as we stand and sing.